Coming up in the month of May, Sea Change, the National Stigma Reduction Partnership and its 90 partners organisations are rolling out a major month-long national campaign to get people talking openly about mental health problems in May 2014. 300,000 green ribbons will be distributed free of charge and nationwide in conjunction with hundreds of local and national events at every Irish rail station and citizens information centre. You don't need to be an expert to start talking about mental health or have all the answers. Sometimes the most helpful thing you can do is let someone know that you are there for them and simply listen. And on this morning's programme, I'm joined on the line by Nicola. Good morning to you, Nicola.
Hi, good morning.
Now, Nicola, you yourself suffer with schizophrenia. For people who don't really know much about schizophrenia, when were you diagnosed? And can you tell us a little bit about living with this?
Yeah, of course. I was diagnosed in 2011 when I was about 22, 21. I had symptoms of schizophrenia when I was very young. I started having them when I was a child around the age of 4. And then I would hear voices and have hallucinations and delusions and that. And I had them my whole life, but I didn't get diagnosed till I was that age.
Okay. And you said you had it from a young age, but obviously you didn't realise that there was something going on until you got to, you said, 22. Now, when you were diagnosed, did you find it hard to find somebody who listened to you, who knew what was going on?
Yeah, it was kind of difficult because when I was, say, about 18, I was in hospital and I was, you know, I wasn't feeling the best, and it was very hard to describe to them what I was going through, and they kind of just dismissed it as attention seeking because I couldn't describe what I was feeling because it had been going on for so long. So it was very hard just to kind of get people to listen. But then when I went to a different team of doctors, they kind of understood more that there was something wrong and there was a problem, and they could kind of work on it, and they identified then as schizophrenia because I had the symptoms. So that kind of made it easier.
Okay, and Nicola, what is, for people who don't really know much about schizophrenia, what is schizophrenia?
Well, it's a mental health disorder. It's like, it causes delusions and hallucinations. They can be like auditory or visual, so like you can hear voices and you can see things that aren't real. And it just has kind of a reality gap where it's kind of hard to see what's real and what's not real. But with medication and that, it can be controlled and with treatments. But it's not a lot what people think it is. The kind of word schizophrenia has a lot of stigma around it, and people tend to think it's a lot worse than it is.
Yeah, but growing up, we all know like puberty is a hard time for anyone. So to be dealing with puberty and with these symptoms as well, it must have been quite hard on you.
Yeah, it was. It kind of spiraled a lot when I was in my teens because it's kind of hard because you have your everyday issues that you face as a teenager, and then I had this as well. And it was kind of hard to understand, is this just me or is everyone going through this?
Yeah. And do you find there's a stigma attached to schizophrenia still, or have you kind of, are any mental health problems in Ireland, do you think we're more accepting to it now?
I think we're starting to see a change in it. There's starting to be more people kind of opening up and talking about it and people understanding it, but schizophrenia is a particularly hard one because the name kind of naturally carries a stigma with it because of things in the past and in the media and in movies, and that it kind of gets blown out of proportion as to what it really is.
Yeah. Well, fair play to you, Nicola, for coming out and talking about it today, because I'm sure there's people listening out there that are still probably unsure of what they're going through. And as you said, it took years to be really diagnosed with what you have. How did this affect your life growing up?
It affected in a very big way. I mean, I struggled in school a lot, and I had kind of self-harm problems and that, and it was kind of hard to make friends and kind of keep friends and keep relationships because I was so all over the place in my head. It was hard to kind of keep a straight line down through my life and just get on with it and do things normally.
And how did you, when you were diagnosed, I presume that's when you started on medication. Has this helped you move on with your life? And I presume, are you working? Are you in college?
Yeah, I'm working now. Like, but it did take a long time to get there, because, you know, like hospital stay and that kind of just And every time we kind of get closer to getting, you know, a job and finishing college, then it's, you know, you get knocked back again, but then you kind of eventually get there. Like, medication helps, yeah. but just a certain amount of medication, not too much medication, because then it just knocks you out altogether. But you kind of just take it day by day and take it step by step, everything in baby steps, it's all right then.
Yeah, it's something to look forward to, I suppose, day by day. Yeah. And is this hereditary? Has it been in your family?
It's been in my family a little bit, but not close enough to, like, affect me. So it can be hereditary, it can be caused by trauma, it can just be your personality that can cause it as well.
Really? Is it because you're a worrier? Would you be particularly a worrier or a negative? People say, oh, you're negative, get on with it. Like, look, people out there who are really sick. You hear all these comments for years. And now I think we are accepting a little bit more in Ireland, mental health issues. I mean, years ago, you know, get on with yourself, get on with life. But now I think we are recognising that a lot of people are suffering with some sort of mental issue.
Yeah, exactly. People are starting to see that mental health issues are real, and it's not just someone that's kind of like, oh, they're just a bit down in the dumps sometimes, and oh, they're just a bit anxious over things, they worry. People are starting to see that there actually are problems, and that these people need treatment and they need help to get on with their lives, and they can't just pull themselves together.
Exactly. And I think people are afraid as well. I think they're afraid when they hear the word mental health problems. Because, you know, when you have a physical symptom, you can show a broken leg or a broken arm with something in your head, and people can't see that. And I think sometimes they're afraid. Do you think that?
Yeah, like, it's kind of hard as well. Like, I mean, if I was to bring it up in conversation with my friends, it's instantly like, oh, everyone's uncomfortable, you know, no one knows what to say. Whereas if I had, like, a physical issue, when I said it wouldn't be a problem, you could just talk about it, but people just find it hard, they feel it's uncomfortable, and they feel like they're intruding if they want to talk to you about it, and it's just hard, very hard to kind of come out with it sometimes.
And do you feel comfortable in Nicola now talking about it with your friends, or is there a group, is there an organisation that you can meet up and talk to people about how...
Lots of, like, groups and, like, support groups and numbers you can ring, and, you know, like, in social media even, it's starting to kind of on the up, people openly talking about mental health as well.
And the thing is to reduce the stigma, basically, isn't it? And the stereotype, you know, it is, it's like any other illness. It's just an illness that you really can't see. It's in your head, and, you know, for years and years, it's been, oh, you don't talk about that, just get on with it. But now it's great that we have organisations like Sea Change to come out and help people.
Yeah, it's fantastic, because, like, their main focus is to reduce stigma. And if we could reduce stigma, like, all over all the mental health issues, then people are going to get better treatment and they're going to get more help. The more people reduce the stigma, the more help people are going to get.
And now you're are you in a good space in your life now? You're in a good place?
I'm working and I'm getting married next year, and it's all go.
Great. That's great. So you feel you're on the road, you know. I mean, I suppose it'll always be with you, but it's how you handle it one day at a time and baby steps, you said.
Yeah, it's the thing. It's always going to be with you. I think people think sometimes when they go to hospital and you come out, you're going to come out like a different person, and it's all going to be hunky-dory, but it takes time, and it does take, you have your good days and your bad days, so.
Exactly. And you know what, Nicola, I think you're very brave to come on and talk. I mean, I don't think the illness should be kept a secret, like many mental illnesses, mental health issues are kept secrets for years. I know it's probably hard for you to speak about it, but the only way really to reduce that stigma is to come out and talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it is the only way, because the more people that talk about it, the more kind of acceptable it is to talk about it, and the more you kind of normalise talking about mental health in general.
Yeah. And Nicola, thanks for talking to us this morning. I mean, a lot of people out there would have said, oh, a schizophrenic split personality. It isn't actually that, is it? I mean,
No, it's not at all. No. I get asked that all the time.
I know. But he said there was a lot of other symptoms, and it took years to kind of been diagnosed. But it's finding the right, I suppose, doctor, the right people to help you along, and you're in a good place now. So, Nicola, listen, thanks for talking to us here on Air FM. And as we said, the month of May is going to be going to highlight this, and hopefully the stigma will be, you know, away from mental health issues, and we'll be more accepting to it. Nicola, thanks for talking to us here this morning on Lifeline. Okay, as I mentioned earlier on, Sea Change, the National Stigma Reduction Partnership and its 90 partners organisations are rolling out a major month-long national campaign to get people talking openly about mental health problems in May 2014. 300,000 green ribbons will be distributed free of charge and nationwide in conjunction even with hundreds of local and national events at every Irish rail station and citizens information centres. You don't need to be an expert to start talking about mental health or have all the answers. Sometimes the most helpful thing is you can do is to let someone know that you are there for them and simply listen. We spoke earlier on to Nicola, and now I'm going to talk to Ciarán. Good morning to Ciarán.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you this morning?
Good, very well, thanks.
Brilliant. Okay, Ciarán, now you were diagnosed with bipolar. Can you tell us a little bit about bipolar and how it affects you and what exactly it is?
Bipolar is it's a mood diagnosis of extreme highs and extreme lows. So from feeling extremely, as they would say, high, not in anything to do with drugs, but your humour and your mood is very high, where you make irrational decisions. So from the likes of, you could go out and spend erratically and not care about your budget at home. You could be wanting to, I know when I was extremely manic at times, you would be going out and you're just looking for something to get that high, to reach that level. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The likes of, you know, crazy drinking, betting, you know, on the chance that you might win money. You know, that feeling, the sense of reward. You know, if you go out to the shop and would just say you buy a new bag, you know what I mean? You feel happy about yourself.
Yeah.
So with bipolar, you turn that up to 10, in my case.
Okay. Anyway. So Ciarán, when were you diagnosed? Do you think you've been suffering this since you were at a younger age? You're 30, you're in your 30s now, yeah?
31 years of age, yeah.
Okay, so when were you diagnosed?
In June 2011. Okay. I was admitted to adult mental health unit.
And was that after, had you gone for help or had you been, do you think you'd been suffering with manic depression, or it's not manic depression anymore, is it bipolar for years, or was it a thing that just came on you out of the blue?
No, it was there, but I never really had an answer to it. I suppose really in June 2011 I hit a low point and I wanted to, I was going to take my life really, and it was a very low point. I mean, it was the lowest that I really hit in all them years. And I went to hospital. I was admitted to hospital. I spent 3 months in hospital, and I got all the answers really of what was wrong with me. And they were able to, I wasn't given straight away. Mm. It took a long while to find out what it was and what was going on, you know.
That's what speaking to Nicola earlier, does it take long when you, I suppose your first protocol is your GP. are our GPs well equipped to deal with, you know, mental health issues here in Ireland? It kind of has been a taboo subject, I think, for years, but I think now we're kind of more accepting to it. So are our doctors trained to diagnose people, do you think?
A doctor can sense when there's a problem, and if a doctor can't come to a solution themselves, they refer you for help. You know, I do think I'm lucky in my GP. I think my GP is very good. He didn't know the answers, but he knew there was something wrong, and he told me that. He said, "Ciarán, you need to go to hospital, and you need to go now." And that's what I'd done that in June 2011. And I was admitted to hospital, and it wasn't given to me. These are the answers straight away. Mm. Really, from June 2011, I've only come to understand myself and understand my diagnosis from August 2013, really.
Okay, so before 2011, had you been living with something that you didn't know what it was?
Oh, definitely. I was involved in the bar trade. And, you know, you'd be working all night long and you'd stay and have a couple of drinks, and a couple of more drinks would lead to a few more, and by the time you know it, it's 6 o'clock and you don't want to go home then, and you're going into town and you're looking for an early house or something to continue on to. You know, you're like that person at the party that just never wants to go home.
All right, yeah. So this was, and when you were actually diagnosed and you were admitted to hospital, did you realise how bad you were, or was it people around you? how sick you were?
Well, the diagnosis didn't come straight away as soon as I was admitted to the hospital. It took a while after. Did I know? No, I didn't. I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what was wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I never knew what was wrong. I never accepted it to be a problem. But then when I sat down and talked to my doctor, the psychiatric doctor, she explained to me what was going on and what it was all about. And then I sort of got to understand and was putting the pieces together myself.
Yeah. Because as we know, depression is, you know, people, a lot of people in Ireland do suffer with depression. Years ago, we'd be told to get on with it, you know, pull your socks up, get on with it. But now, I thank God, we're kind of recognising now that it is an illness, like any other illness. It is a big illness. And there's a lot of people in Ireland suffering with depression. And I'm delighted to see that Sea Change are doing this. I know they did it last year. And you're actually an ambassador now, Ciarán, aren't you, for Sea Change?
Yeah, I've made an ambassador this year, which has been brilliant because for me, Sea Change, I am Sea Change. Every other one else that's involved in Sea Change is Sea Change. You know what I mean? It's not sort of a hierarchical structure, in my opinion. It's you feel that you belong to something and you feel that you can make a change.
And where are you today now in your life? Are you back in work? Are you getting on with your life?
No, I'm not back in work at the moment. I'm doing a marketing course, which is good for me.
Great.
I haven't been able to get a job yet. I'm hoping that will come soon. I'm definitely more aware of everything in my life, personally. Yeah. I think everyone's case with mental health is different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, people could be listening and saying, oh, well, my partner has bipolar, or my son has bipolar, or my teenage girl or whatever, and how come they're not acting like Ciarán? Everyone's case is different. There's no just straight sort of read off sheet and this is what happens and this is how you get better. Everyone works differently. But no, I'm definitely in control. My bipolar is I'm in charge of it and it's not in charge of me anymore.
Good. And can you give any advice to people out there who are going through the same thing as you are going through, Ciarán? I know probably medication, but, you know, to probably set goals, to kind of look forward to doing something every day, like not getting into a rut, staying in bed. Because we all know if you're feeling a bit down, the thing you want to do is stay in bed. And really, that isn't the best thing to do, is it?
No, it's not really. But you know what I mean? People can say, oh, today was so bad. If you can get up out of bed, you know what I mean? You've won already, you know what I mean? So just don't set extreme goals for yourself that, you know what I mean, you're on your road to recovery and you should be running a 5K run within 2 weeks, or you should be out and you should be in a crowd and talking to people about your mental health. Just set small little goals, and as you conquest the small goals, work towards bigger goals.
Exactly. And it's so important to talk as well. I mean, I think the talking helps a lot for any mental health issue.
Without a doubt. And for me, I think the key to my own recovery has been my mental health nurse. I used to meet her at the start once a week, and we talk about everything. And there's nothing off bounds. You know what I mean? And there's no lies. You know what I mean? If you didn't get up, you didn't get up. If you didn't do something, you didn't do something. You're just 100% truthful. But I was able to just go into a room and talk to someone, and there was nothing off bounds. Sometimes I find, if you have a friend, you know what I mean, you don't tell them everything, or your partner, you don't tell them everything. It's just something that you just keep to yourself. But with my nurse, there was nothing off bounds, and we just talked about everything. You know, and that's for me the key, for me feeling better and for me doing better, is just having someone to go and speak to. I see her now, it's cut down to maybe once a month.
Oh, Christ.
It was once every 2 weeks, but we've just, it pans out. So once a month I go in, I just tell her everything, and she just sits there and we laugh. Sometimes I might cry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
And do you have a support group as well, Ciarán? Is there a support group out there for people as well?
There's different support groups across the level. The one for people with straight off with depression problems and with bipolar as well is AWARE. And anyone that doesn't know where they are, if they go to their local family resource centre, they can point them in the right directions. And they're good. It's just going into a room and people just talking about what's going on.
Yeah, well, it could help. You know, just I think sometimes talking just takes a load off your chest sometimes. Can I just ask you a question? When you went for job interviews, because going back like years ago, you know, you probably wouldn't say you're suffering with something, some mental health issue. When you go for your interviews, do you open up about what you have?
No, it's not got to that stage yet. I did before because I really not ashamed of anything to do with mental health. Mm. I think the more open you are, the better that it is. And I did a couple of years ago, 2012, and I went for an interview, and I said basically that I suffered from bipolar, and I need to go see my nurse every couple of weeks or chat and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I didn't hear anything back, but strangely enough, a friend of mine that worked in the same place was able to tell me that the manager spoke out of turn and said that this looper came in. This is the word that he used. Looper came in for an interview, and it turned out that looper was me.
Oh, my God. That's the stigma we have to get away from here. I think we're getting a little bit better in Ireland. I think 2014 has to be the year. There's more people speaking out about the mental health issues, but for someone to say that is an absolute disgrace. So it is a sickness, an illness like any other type of illness. We just have to accept a little bit more and get away from the stigma. It's, you know, it is 2014, and it's terrible for somebody to say a thing like that. Ciarán,
if you had a cast on your arm, yeah, people would see that you had a broken hand.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That your arm was broke or your leg was in a cast. But if they don't see anything physically altering your appearance, they think that everything is perfect, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing about mental health. They can't see it, but it is an illness as serious as any other illness, a broken leg or a cast, as you said. Ciarán, it was great talking to you today, and you know, I'm delighted you spoke to us, and more people have to come out and speak and get the stigma away from mental health issues. Thanks for talking to us, Ciarán.
No problem. Thanks very much. Have a good morning.
You too. Bye-bye.